If you have your Bibles, you can lift it up. If not, you can just say this. Say, this is my Bible. I believe it is God Almighty in written form. And today, it will enter my heart, my mind, my emotions, and my body through Holy Spirit to the glory of Father in Jesus' name. Amen. That covers it, doesn't it? Amen. All right. You know, last night, I was just praying about service today, and, you know, I thought I had something in my spirit. Then about midnight, God changed things up and just quickened something to me that I think is going to be a real encouragement to us. We've been sharing on just beholding God, keeping God in front of you. And what's that mean? It's just Psalm 16. Let's read it. David, who's a man after God's own heart, the Bible says that a key to his life, it says this in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Then in Psalm 17, there's just really an awesome, I just love these verses. It says in verse 14, it talks about people in this life. I mean, they have what they consider life. But he says in verse 15, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Wow. To me, that differentiates a real believer from someone just goes to church or even loves God. But man, when you get satisfied most with beholding him, with experiencing him, with, you know, just sensing his presence being with you, man, that's what it's about. Amen. So the Lord just dealt with me and said, I just want you to share on just the reality of how much God, I mean, the reason he died, you know, was just to be with us. You know, sure, we do things, whether it might be singing in the worship team, in the choir, it might be passing out tracts, whatever. But the key is just to be with him. In Mark chapter 3, let's look there. We'll start with verse 13. It's really neat when it tells the purpose that Jesus called the apostles into, the vision, if you would. Mark chapter 3, and it says this. Jesus. Well, start, verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Okay? A lot of times we focus on Jesus ordained us to have power over sickness and cast out demons, and that's right, and to preach. But he first called the 12 just to be with him so that they could get to know him. Amen? The Bible says in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, those who know their God shall do exploits just to be with him. Glory to God. It's an awesome thing. You know, so Jesus, everything he has given us is for the purpose of to be with him and to experience him. So we're going to look at those things he's given us. But when you see the reason we read the word, the reason that we, you know, pray, it's just so we can be with him and experience him. Man, you know, it's an awesome thing, you know, just to enter into a place where our greatest joy in life is just to be with him. Whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's a brother, sister, you know, when people are really have a closeness, you just enjoy being with them. You know, there's no pretenses. There's no, it's, you know, it's almost like, it's just you feel comfortable. You know what I'm saying? You enter into a place where you just like being with somebody. I'll be honest with you. Man, sometimes, you know, I'll get invited to someone's house over the years I'm talking. And, you know, I don't mind a clean house, perfect place settings, etc. But, man, sometimes, you know, when you're with somebody for dinner, maybe it's the first time they invited you over, and it's like, my gosh, you're so afraid. You can tell if you use the wrong fork, you are in trouble. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I always wonder why there's two forks anyways. Anyways, but the bottom line is, you don't feel comfortable. You're in a place where it's almost like your behavior is under a microscope rather than you just enjoying someone's company. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's how most people experience Jesus. To be honest with you, we're just talking in the church world. I mean, the religious world. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm going to try to do everything right, but it's not about being with him as much as it's trying to impress him, as much as it's trying to impress somebody else. And that's not how it works. Amen? When you can say, man, my greatest joy is just to be with him. Glory to God. Man, just taking a walk with him. Glory to Jesus. You know, your quiet time. Just to be with him. Why is that? Because he loves to be with you. It's amazing. He loves to be with you. Now, this sounds crazy, but it's true because the Bible says it. God and Father loves to be with you as much as he loves to be with Jesus. How can that be? Obviously, we're not Jesus. We're not perfect like Jesus. But why? Because the relationship is so deep, it's so real, that's his heart. Amen? It's an amazing thing. We can lose that. You know what I'm saying? So we're just going to share it just in the context of just being with him. The main proof text, the main verse we'll use is Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, a lot of people hear, man, be strong. Be courageous. Don't fear. Don't be discouraged. Well, all that is good. But if you just try to do that because you know it's what to do, it's not going to work. Man. Sometimes the more you hear what you're supposed to do, the more difficult it is to do it. It's not just hearing what we're supposed to do. It's entering into the reality that we can do it because of the one that's with us. Amen? It's totally different. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you know he's with you, man, that's when it works. He's not just with us, he's in us. When you know he's with you, that's when you know you're going to be protected. And yet, God's with us through Holy Spirit in us. He walks with us. Angels are around us. Glory to God. Angels are with us. Praise God. Hallelujah, God. So when you know he's with you, that's when you know he's got your back. That's when you know it's going to be okay. That's when you know you can be strong, even when you feel weak. That's why the Bible says when you're weak, you're strong. Why is that? It's because when he's with you, his strength emanates to you. I want to say that again. When God is with you, his strength emanates to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why we can be courageous. Because his presence wells up within us. Glory to God. We can be courageous. You know, Gideon of old was somebody that was seemingly cowardly, beating out, you know, in the wine press when, you know, hiding from the enemy. But God came to him and said, oh, great and mighty warrior. He's probably thinking, who's here with me? You know what I'm saying? But you see, he got the revelation that he was a great and mighty warrior because God was with him. Amen? Man, Matthew 28, we quote it all the time. You know, God tells us to, you know, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. And then before Jesus ascends, he said, you can do this because I will be with you. Amen? Man, that's what makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Glory to God. And that's why we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be discouraged. When in the natural, certain things should bring fear or discourage us, but we're not. Again, because he's with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I remember years ago, every time I mentioned one of my kids or my wife, I got to give them like $10, probably $20 now. So we'll go with Michelle now, okay? Amen. Many years ago, okay? I think she was like in third grade or something. And we were close to the elementary school. And she would walk, you know, we just walk to school. And I don't know if you remember this, you probably, someone was taking your lunch and different, there's something bad going on. And it was like a couple kids, you know, harassing you. And I was going on the school board at the time. I was thinking about going down there and just, you know, jumping out of the bushes or something. But that wouldn't have been good. You know what I'm saying? You're on the school board. So my daughter, Mary, I remember she came to me and she said, boy, that's not good. And I said, yeah. She said, well, I want to help Michelle out. And she was behind something, a wall or bushes or something. And his kids went to take her lunch and bang, you know, Mary jumped out. And just, and those kids didn't do it again. But you know, when somebody is with you that's stronger than the enemy, that's why we can be strong. That's why we can be courageous. That's why we're not afraid or discouraged. Amen? Amen. God is not just with us. He's in us to bring forth the victory in our lives in regards to his love for us. Praise God. All right. So let's just go down the list. We all know the things that we're supposed to do. Get in the word. You know, enter into fellowship. Do not forsake the gathering yourselves together. You know, enter into worship. You know, use your authority, etc. But the key is this. It's doing these things because you're so excited to be able to experience Jesus. Now that sounds simple. You know, let's take the word of God. I tell you, all of us have a spirit of revelation because we're born again. But the devil will do everything he can to get you out of the word. Well, you don't understand it, like the pastor. You know, you can't read the greatest. You can't do this. You're not worthy, on and on. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I get in the word. And I tell you, maybe I start in the word and I don't sense anything. I don't sense God with me, but I know he is. So I continue, amen. And as you continue, man, the word will open up, amen. And so we need to understand when we walk by faith, faith is simply believing God, amen. Until the experiential reality of who he is manifests. Believing God until the experiential reality of who he is to us manifests. And sometimes, yeah, I had a young man, was discipling, and he's a missionary now, him and his wife. And man, so his name was Tim, and he was just, he said, I'm struggling in the word. And I said, okay. He says, when I go in, it's just like, man, I'm not sensing God. And I said, well, I said, your heart is hungering for the word. Jesus is there, the spirit of revelation. Man, just believe that Holy Spirit is there to manifest. And Jesus died so you could be in the word. So he just started to do that. And he made a commitment. He said, you know, whether the Lord... the word opens up in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. I'm just knowing, I'm believing that it's going to happen. Well, it's going to happen because Jesus gave you his word because he loves to be with you. Amen? He loves to be with you. And one of the main ways you experience God is through the word of God. Yeah, it's in church through fivefold ministry, but it's in your quiet time. It's so foundational. Amen. And then forget, She was in college, I think a freshman. She was 18 or 19. And she made a commitment. I think she had like an hour between this, her one class to the next class. And she made a commitment. She said, Lord, during this time, every day, I'm just going to meet with you in a certain study room at the university. And, you know, as time went by, man, she just forgot about the promise she made. And finally, halfway through the semester, she said, Lord, I know what happened. She had a vision. She really actually forgot about the promise. You know, things come in and homework and activities. And she had a vision. And she saw Jesus in this study room, in the vision, every day, just waiting for her. Every day, just waiting for her. Because she promised to be with him during that period of time. And he was just there waiting for her. And she never came. And she could see the disappointment on his face. And she said, Lord, I'm so sorry. And she began then to fulfill that promise. And just, see, that's what it's about. Not just saying, yeah, I got to get in the Word. Entering into a place where we get so excited that Jesus is going to be there with us, to talk with us. Man, prayer is just talking, fellowshipping with Jesus. Just talking to him like you talk to a friend. And letting him talk back. Amen? Man, if you talk to somebody on the phone, on your phone, you just don't talk for 30 minutes and don't let anybody else speak back to you. You talk, you listen, they talk, continue. Amen? It's two ways. Prayer is learning to express your heart, man, the deepest things on your heart. And then hearing, woo, God speak back to you, amen? Fellowshipping with you, caring about you. So getting in the Word, praying. Man, when you use the name of Jesus, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just receive, man, your glory manifesting. You know, I got this need. Man, there's disfavor coming against me. There's lies coming against me. I break those lies in the name of Jesus. And then God shows up. Amen. We're going to be doing a series on Holy Spirit. And this is kind of the introduction. Man, he's in you. Glory to God to put you over. In you, for you, through you. Glory to God. So you enter into a place of excitement. Because these vehicles that he's given us, they're amazing. You know, there's many Christians on the earth, they don't have a Bible. They don't have a Bible. I know it's hard to believe sometimes, but I've shared this story. Kathy, when she was in China, they were telling her that a minister came and did a Bible study, and it was you risk your life to be there. It was a place you're not allowed to meet. And he noticed it. Man, they kept drawing the word from him. He'd teach and teach and then say, teach us some more, teach us some more. Man, he'd teach like 8, 10, 12 hours. Then he finally realized they don't have a Bible. They don't have a Bible. They are writing things down. God's made a way for us to be with him. Amen? Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whoo, glory to God. Amen. So we enter into a place where we see his need to be with us. And man, it changes everything. Glory to God. All right. And again, the enemy will do anything to bring separation between you and God. Man, to deceive you in thinking that, man, your past has, not been forgiven fully. He'll do, everything to cause you to think you're unworthy. Somebody else is better than you, on and on. And we have to say, there's no separation. I will not allow myself for there to be separation between me and God. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. And I was ministering to somebody, and you know, she loved the Lord. She was struggling with something physically. Her husband was a pastor, I believe, Methodist Church. And Kathy and I knew her well, and she just said, I just feel separated. I said, I get it. There's pain there. You feel separated. Here's the good news. You're not. I know what happened. Kathy gave me her number. I said, I just feel in my heart the Lord's telling me to give her a call. And I said, I know that there's things going on. I talked to your husband. I know he's a pastor, and he's a good guy. And I said, but the Lord just has a word for you. You're not separated. You might feel like it, but you're not. Holy Spirit is working. Holy Spirit is reigning. Glory to God. And she said, man, I'm so thankful because that's what the enemy was speaking to me. Glory to God. Simple is good. Amen? Simple is good. Man, that which brings you closer to God is what you want to do. That which causes separation, maybe being with the wrong people or whatever, that's what you don't do. Amen? But the exciting thing is Jesus. Years ago, I was at this conference, and there's a guy, you know, speaking and talking about strategies, how to get people come to your campus group. And we had a group in SRU called New Life, and then we work with a group on Grove City College campus and called Warriors. And everything was, what do you do to get people, you know, the kids to come, you know what I'm saying, to group? And, you know, there's all these different things, you know, different speakers, you have certain worship, you have certain, you know, music, you have this, you have this, you have this, you can do this, you send out everything. And all those things were okay. But I thought to myself, why don't we just make Jesus the calling card? Amen? Why don't we get people excited about Jesus? Glory to God. So if there's not a special music group, if there's not this going on, people are going to come because of the presence of God. Why? Because they want to be with Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. Man, I tell you what. Oh, man. That's what it's about. As a pastor, my greatest desire is for you to just want to be with Jesus. And you can be with Jesus taking a walk. You can be with Jesus fishing. You can be with Jesus going to run. You can be with Jesus driving in your car. Amen. Glory to God. Just to be with Jesus. Amen. All right. Go with me if you would to, the first we're going to do Deuteronomy 30. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, in the Old Testament, you know, the Jewish people, they were, a lot of times they were backslidden. And man, God would call them back and then backslide again. And then, you know, he'd call them back, they'd backslide again, God called them back. And, you know, we've all been there to some degree. But in verse 11, well, prior to verse 11, God really, man, he appears to these guys. He speaks to them through Moses. He's just sharing his heart with them, okay? And he's saying, you know, I just want to share my heart with you. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, it says, he told them what they need to do. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it? Neither it is beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who should go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do what I'm asking you to do. See, I've set before you life and good, death and evil. And he goes on to say, choose life. There's a song Third Day sings. I mean, people ever heard Third Day? Actually, I was going to bring it to play it today, but we're not able to. It's one of my favorite songs. It's only like 2 minutes. But it uses these verses and just says, you know what? Relationship is right before us. Relationship is right before us. Man, choose life. Man, choose, right? Just spend time with him. Choose, you know, just, man, it's not just, it's, you know, entering into a presence of God in a certain way and being with family, loving one each other. It's just such a good song. It's called Just to Be With You. Man, I play that, man, a lot. Glory to God. Amen. But he's saying, man, I want to bless you. He said, I want to bless you. I want to multiply you. I want to give you everything that's in my heart. Then in verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, says, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. God's crying out, choose life. And both you and your seed may live. God's crying out to us every day. Experience me. And the more we experience him, the more we're going to want to experience him. Amen? And he says this, choose life, verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that you might cleave to him. For he is your life. He's your length of days. Blessing is in him. Glory to God. So let's look at that more in depth. So God's saying, choose life. Man, we have the privilege every day, man, to enter into relationship with Jesus as much as we want. Glory to God. And he says, when you choose life, and you experience him, the more you experience him, the more you're going to love him. The more you love him, man, the more he's just going to come to you. It's amazing. The more you're going to obey him. And I love this. It says, cleave unto him. For he's your life. He's your length of days. Glory to God. When you're in fellowship with Jesus, just like, and there's a special anointing came in worship today. When you're in his presence, and even when you feel weak at times, you just say, Lord, start to worship him. Say, Lord, I love you. I love you. Man, in my heart, you just express your heart. Man, what happens is what's in him gets in you. Glory to God. A lot of people don't understand. In John 6, Jesus said, you know, eat of me and drink of me. And man, they thought he was telling them to be like cannibals. It was so weird. And so many of his disciples left. The majority of his disciples left because the enemy was right there. When you start talking about partaking of Jesus, oh man, see, that'll make you dangerous to the devil. The devil will do everything he can to get you to misunderstand it, to get you to misinterpret it, etc. Well, you're too fanatical now. I tell you what, when you get to heaven, you're going to be fanatical. You're going to be worshiping him. Man, there might be food over there that you'd like to eat, but for the first million years, you're just going to be sitting at his feet. Amen? Glory to God. So what I'm saying is that Jesus has called us to partake of him. That's why he died. Not so you can sing in the choir. Not even so you pass out tracts. You know, you can pass out tracts and even sing in the choir and do this, but if you're not partaking of his heart, wow, it's partaking of your heart. I'll never forget Joe Garlington. He shared a story, and he said that there's a young lady, very gifted in music, and he could tell she wasn't ready to go out, you know, to minister, but she said, I'm ready. So he said, okay. She said, I'm going to sing for him. And about a month, or about 6 weeks later, she came back very discouraged. And he said something that was so good. He just said, you went to sing for him, you know, the minister. He said, now just sing for him. Do you understand? Minister to him. And ministry will take care of itself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to, and there's different things we want to enter into. Go with me to John 6, if you would. This is where, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, you know, eat of me, drink of me. It's analogous to just saying, be immersed in me. Partake of my voice, my presence, my word. You know what I'm saying? My grace. And man, you know, and many left because they didn't understand. Because the enemy will do everything to keep you from just being, man, just living, just to be with him. Glory to God. And when Jesus was on the earth, you know, it was all, you know, about relationship. God does not do anything. He doesn't do anything that's not in the context of relationship. Glory to God. The scripture says that Passover was at hand. And Passover is where they celebrated, right? You know, you put the blood on the doorposts. And, you know, they slayed the lamb. And here's Jesus, the Lamb of God, ready to be slain. And Passover is very powerful, right? So he's with the disciples. But see, people don't understand. Passover was not just putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Passover was also eating of the lamb. The Bible says when they eat of the lamb, every person, there were 3.5 million Jews in the book of Exodus. And every person, no matter, it says there was none feeble among them after the aid of God. Man, they were under the Egyptians. Man, they had all kind of things wrong with them physically. But when they ate of the lamb, which means partaking of Jesus, every one of them was healed. Glory to God. Man, a while ago, I was watching, I grew up, you know, I had an Italian grandmother, and she was just a great cook, had her own garden, she had a restaurant, and man, really, really great cook, you know what I'm saying? So I like to watch this cooking show, Lydia's Kitchen. Anybody ever heard of it? Anyway, this is Italian lady, you know, and it reminds me of my grandmother, you know what I'm saying? So a while ago, I'm downstairs in my man cave, and I'm watching, you know, Lydia's Kitchen, and she said, today, we're going to be cooking lamb, okay? And she started just to talk about where she used to live in Italy. She said, they have the best grass there, the greenest grass. And the lamb eats of this. And she was telling about all that's in the lamb. You know what I'm saying? And then she says, and then we get to eat of the lamb. And I got up and I started to shout. I said, glory to God. We can eat of the lamb. And Kathy says, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? She said, are you watching? Who you watching? You know, Andrew Womack? Or who you watching? You're so excited. I said, it's Lydia. She said, what is wrong with you? But she's talking about eating of the lamb. She said, when you eat of the lamb, what's in the lamb gets inside of you. When you partake of Jesus, spend time with Jesus, worship Jesus, what's in the lamb gets inside of you. Glory to God. And we're going to say, this is why the Holy Spirit's in us. Holy Spirit's not in you so he can hitchhike a ride through life and see Slippery Rock or West Sunbury or wherever. He's in us. So the life of Jesus can emanate and get in us. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to Jesus. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Go with me to Psalm 91, if you would. Such a glorious psalm. How many lives have been saved through this psalm? Man, how many read this psalm? You know, I tell you, it's a good psalm to read every day. Man, it's a psalm of protection, but it's more than that. It's a psalm that shares, man, about dwelling in God. Amen. It's one thing to visit God. It's another thing to, man, where he's your whole life. So Psalm 91, let's start with verse 1. It said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the name El Elyon, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God say, when you and I learn, like we read in Psalm 16, man, just to always be holding Jesus. You know, always just be excited about Jesus. Glory to God. Doesn't mean you can't go to the baseball game or something, the power game. I'm not telling you, I'm not to be weird. What I'm saying is that, but you, Jesus is just everything to you. Amen? It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Glory. I will say of the Lord. We got to say it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now listen, surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. How many know the enemy is here to bring harm to us? But Jesus is our protection. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. I tell you what, how many people right now are in a place, man, that fear, man, it just consumes them. Man, you turn on the news, I don't care what news it is. Man, alive, I mean, just people being pushed into the tracks of a subway, just standing there. I mean, just, there's a spirit of chaos. There's a spirit of murder. But glory to God, we're exempt from it because of Jesus. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through trials. Doesn't mean that we don't have to use our faith. It doesn't mean that different times that we're not going to have to fight. But it says this, you shall not be afraid. Why? Because he's with you. And if he's with you, he will encourage you. He will minister to your heart. And he will become your provision. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Thousands shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come to thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. Glory to God. Therefore, the evil will not reign over you. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Again, man, angels are a big deal in the kingdom of God. Angels are with us. Man, the Bible says, when you speak the word, angels hearken unto your word. There's a Bible study, I think about a year and a half ago. There's a young man, he was a young Christian. And he was in the Marines, I believe. And there was something that he was supposed to put back in a safe place, and he couldn't find it. And it was a big deal to his, you know, his, the one overseeing him. And he said, man, I looked and looked and looked, and I'm going back today. I have to go back. And he said, just pray for me that, you know, I'd find this. And someone in the Bible says, you know what, let's ask an angel. Just put it, take it, and put it in plain sight. You know, some people, they're like, okay. But, you know, so we prayed. An angel, so he came back the next week. And he said, you know what was amazing? He said, I looked 10 times at this, where this was, and it was not there. And I went back, and it was right in front of me. I firmly believe an angel put that there. Amen? Glory to God. What are angels there for? Amen. They're there to help us. Amen. Glory to God. How many times, you know what I'm saying? Man, would God save us from car accidents because of angels? Honestly. Man, different times it's like, man, I didn't see this car coming up or this or that. You know what I'm saying? Angels are there to help us. Amen. They keep us from harm. Amen. And if you're going 85 miles an hour in a 65-mile zone, an angel can come to you with a red light blazing on the top of his car, too, just so you know, okay? Amen. All right. That's just for free, okay? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. It's all right. So he will give his angels charge over you to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the serpent, the adder, and the young lion, and the dragon shall you trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Doesn't say you're never going to have any trouble. It says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. I love this, because God's talking about him. He says, I love it. He says, you call upon me, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you. I will honor you. I will give you long life. Amen? Glory to God. How can he do all that? Because he's with you. Amen? Glory to God. So it says, how do you know God wants long life? Because his word says. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah, God. All right. My time goes quick. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll see how far we get. 1 Samuel 16. This is talking about David. And hallelujah, Jesus. So Samuel came to Jesse's house. And long story short, he, verse 13, he took the horn of oil. We're going to talk about this big time. Anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And it says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Glory to God. And after that happened, because God was now with him in a special way. Now in the Old Testament, we realize Holy Spirit could not be in anyone, because the spirits were dead of Old Testament people. So, but he could come upon them and emanate his life to them and through them. And this is, after this happened, man, David, as a shepherd, was tending his flock, and a bear came. And he, through Holy Spirit, he killed the bear to protect the lambs. It's a type of Jesus as our shepherd, amen, destroying that which would harm us to protect us. And then a lion came. Wow. Man, we're talking, man, a lion. And David fights the lion and destroys the lion. Wow. And we know this story, but let's look at this. David, his older brothers went up to fight against the Philistines. And David was commissioned, given the responsibility of watching the sheep for his father. But then his father said, hey, I want to send bread and to bless the men in battle. So he said, I want, David, you to take them up. So verse 17, Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren, your older brothers, some parched corn, 10 loaves, run to the camp to thy brethren. Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how they, and tell me how your brothers are doing, okay? So, verse 19, Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left his sheep, and he went up to do what his father said, okay? And the Bible says he took and went to, Jesse had commanded, and came to the trench as the host was going forth to the battle. And they shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines were all dressed in battle array, army against army. And David left, the things that he was carrying for his brothers. And he started to talk to somebody. And as he was talking, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, He came forth out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And what he was saying is this: you take one man from your army, I'll represent the Philistines, and whoever wins between me and this man that you send to fight me, well then, the other, you know, we'll either submit ourselves to you or you to us. And here, if you get some, get this. They were listening to the strategy of the enemy. That was the dumbest thing in the world that they could have done. They had a larger army, a more weaponized army, a stronger army. But now, see, he's getting them to fight on his terms. Don't ever let the devil get you to fight on his terms. What I mean by that is this. The devil will always try to say this: hey, if you do this, this, and this, then God will bless you. If you do this, this, and this. Now, there's a balance. I mean, if you know someone's in sin or this or that, you got to forsake sin. But he's always trying to get you to do something that's already been done. You do this, 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 and this, and I'll give you favor. You do this, this, and this, and I'll forgive you. You do this, this, and this, and I'll heal you. Can I hear something? That's the strategy of the enemy. We need to say, hey, I don't need to do this, this, and this, because I'm under covenant. I'm already in relationship with God, and my inheritance includes what I need. I'm going to say that again. Do not fight the devil on his terms. Man, what you do is start to worship him that you're accepted in the beloved. What you do is start to praise him that you already have the answer because it's already been paid for, that your need is now allowed to be given you through the power of Holy Spirit. Because if you buy into the lie, okay, Lord, if I do, man, if I get in the Word 1 hour more every day. Now, you need to be in the Word, but here's the deal. If you fulfill what the devil's trying to tell you to do, there's always going to be one more thing to do. Hey, do you remember when you were in third grade and you pulled that girl's pigtails in front of you and gave her a headache? You're not getting healed because you didn't ask forgiveness. That's a bunch of baloney. And man, if we had to get forgiveness about everything we did when we were in third grade, nobody'd be alive. You know what I'm saying? First of all, you couldn't remember it. And some of you were rascals when you were in third grade. You know what I'm saying? That's why you're laughing, because you did pull the pigtails. You did spit in that little boy's face. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I remember, I think my one daughter was in third grade, and she just, there's a Christian school, and you couldn't do anything wrong. And they were on the playground, and she was just yelling at the boys. She said, girls go to Mars to get more candy bars, and boys go to Jupiter to get more stupider. You know what I'm saying? And the teacher heard it, and we got a call. I said, did you say that? She said, no. I said, you said it. She said, yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. What I'm saying is this. Don't fight the enemy on his terms. He's always going to tell you that you do something. You have to do something that's already been done. Man, receive forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Receive favor through the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive healing through the blood of Jesus. Receive your identity through the blood of Jesus. Amen? So they're in trouble. Because Goliath was like 9 feet 6 inches. Their tallest guy is probably 6 foot. He's stronger than them. But they're fighting on his terms. Again, don't fight on the ground. Don't fight the crows on the ground. Fight from above, a position of victory like the eagle. You don't see eagle fighting crows on the ground. You see eagle swooping down and bang, destroying his prey. The Bible does not say in Isaiah 40 Man, and that if you continue in, that God is going to strengthen you like crows. He said he's going to strengthen you like eagles. Amen? So we fight from a position of victory. All right. As we keep going down there, David says, what will be given to the man that destroys this guy? All right? And he says, I can destroy Goliath. Now, he's just a young teenager. But why did he say that? Verse 34, 1 Samuel 17, 30. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him. Woo, glory to God. He's offensive minded. And smote him, delivered the sheep out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant has slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we have time. Let's continue to go into this. So David, let's just keep reading, convinces Saul, okay, that he can defeat the Philistine. So Saul, here's what Saul does in verse 38. He armed David with his armor, put a helmet and brass upon his head. He armed him with his coat. And David tried to use Saul's armor, but didn't work. I think one of the reasons that Saul was trying to get David to use his armor is because Saul was a coward and he wanted people to think it was him fighting Saul. Honestly, Goliath. But here's the deal. You can't wear another person's armor. Amen? You get the scripture that ministers to you most. I mean, you can quote the same scripture as somebody, but you have to, amen, what works for you. Glory to God. You go with. And David says, I'm not going to do this. He took his staff in his hand, chose some five smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, and he drew near to the Philistine. Why were there five stones? Well, there could be a lot of reasons. I think fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Also, Goliath had four brothers. So that makes sense, right? So, you know, if Goliath fell and his four brothers came against him, he'd have five stones. All right. So what happens is this. The Philistine, verse 43, says, David, he says, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine, Goliath, cursed David by his gods. His main god was Dagon. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said, here's the key. Man, what you say is so important. What you say is so important. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. In the Hebrew, it's Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee. I will take your head from you. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with a sword, not with a spear. For the battle is the Lord's. He won't give you into my hands. David said, because he's with me. He said, you got a sword. Man, you got an armor bearer. You got this, you got that. I've got God. He's with me. Glory to God. He's with me. That's why he was so, so confident. Not in himself, but in the name of God. The God who fights for Israel. Oh, glory to Jesus. And David ran to the battle quickly. Again, you want to stay in the offensive. Philippians 1:28 says when you're in the offensive and you know God's with you, it's really a token of destruction to the enemy that he's going to lose. and he will run in fear. So David put out his hand out in the bag, took out a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his head, fell on his face to the earth. But here's the deal. There's an armor bearer with a huge sword standing by Goliath. David still doesn't have a sword. David goes up to Goliath, and the armor bearer is so afraid of David, he just gives him his sword and runs and takes off. And David takes the head of Goliath. Glory to God. And he brings the head into Israel and telling them that his God is the one that brought the victory. Glory to God. So today as we close, I want to encourage you. The good news is this. It's not about you. It's not about me. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. It's about God in you. It's about him being with you. So we're going to enter into this the next week to just really enter in to seeing the reality. Man, just how we enter into this so every person here can be confident, man, of the victory that God says he's promised to give us. Amen? It's an amazing thing that the God of the universe chooses to be with us, to dwell with us, to be in us. And it's for one reason. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. Please remember this. He can't stay away from you. He can't stay away from you. He runs to the sound of your voice. He just loves to be with you. He just loves to be with you. And that's the gospel. He loves to be with you. He died so he could be with you. And if he died to be with you, do you think he will be with you? Absolutely. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. If someone's listening to my voice right now, you're watching on YouTube, Faith and Family Channel, Spotify, however, and you're hearing this and you feel separated from God. You feel like there's no provision. I break that lie in Jesus' name. Jesus died to be with you. If you're not saved, no matter how religious you are, you need to say, God, forgive me of my sins. Going to church, being an elder in a church doesn't make me your child. I humble myself. Forgive me, come into my life. If you're a believer, it's time to believe in his love for you. Glory to God. Just say, Jesus, help me right now. See that you're with me, and then you'll put me over. I had two words of knowledge. I heard the name Daniel. I heard the name Larry. Does that mean something to someone? But can we stand up? We just want to make a declaration, okay? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to thy name. Glory to thy name, Jesus. Can you say this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I love you.